From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. I am delighted to welcome back to Naps Chat Art Sackla, a friend and colleague who has been engaged in postal affairs for well over three decades. Art joined us on a Naps Chat about 5 months ago when he provided, from the mailing industry's perspective, a postmortem of a late February House Postal Oversight hearing, a hearing which foreshadowed introduction of H.R. 3076, the Postal Reform Act of 2021. As Naps Chat listeners may recall from Art's previous visit, Art is an astute observer of and participant within the postal community. He founded and facilitated a number of consequential postal-related coalitions. In addition, over his many years in the postal world, Art has served as Vice President for Law and Policy for the Time Warner Company, General Counsel to the National Newspapers Association, and served on the Postmaster General's Mailers Technical Advisory Committee. Finally, Art is still Executive Director of the Coalition for a 21st Century Postal Service, and this is the capacity in which he is with us today. Welcome back to Naps Chat, Art.
Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here.
Art, the postal community has become familiar with two different annual surveys, one conducted by the Gallup Organization and the other by the Penniman Institute. Gallup evaluated public approval of government agencies, and Penniman assessed the public trust of different public and private entities. The Postal Service has always scored top marks in both surveys. However, this year, the two organizations have not conducted such surveys. So, in steps the 21st Century Coalition. The coalition commissioned a survey which asked over 2,200 Americans issues relating to the Postal Service. In part, your survey concluded that an overwhelming majority of the American public reject the Postal Service's initiative to reduce or deprioritize mail service, and that the combination of delaying the mail and raising rates could have very significant consequences to the Postal Service and to its customers. Can I ask you, what led the coalition to step into the void created by the absence of Gallup and Penniman and conduct your own survey?
Well, it was basically what you have identified, Bob. There was a void. No one was really checking what the public thought about the Postal Service. The most recent poll, what the questions were asked in October of last year and released in April, I believe, by the Postal Service Inspector General's office. So we knew from our discussions with our members and through them with their customers that there were some strong undercurrents in the public about the Postal Service. And we wanted to see, what are they? So the survey, and to be frank, we wanted whatever that information would be to help underpin efforts to enact legislation and otherwise oversee the Postal Service from Capitol Hill. So we engaged a company called Bellwether Crisis Response, which is a new company with able veteran leadership, that is veteran leadership in polling. It was a former, one of the founders is a former director of behavioral science and neuroscience techniques at Ipsos. The other is a professor in the same fields in Dartmouth. I mean, these folks come with sterling credentials. Anyway, we told them we wanted them to conduct as objective a poll as possible, focusing on current attitudes toward the Postal Service and views of the public toward the transformative changes that the Postal Service is in the process of implementing now. Those include, of course, service and price changes above all else, because they are the most visible changes to the public. But we went a little bit more in depth than that. And you see the results that you see. But that was the whole point. We know what the business community and customers of the Postal Service are thinking. And we had been guessing, really. What does the public think? Maybe they disagree with us and they think this is just great, what is in the Delivering for America plan. Or maybe they don't. And we better go find out. And that's what we did.
The survey looked at this, the plan, the Delivering for America plan, and that is, the Postmaster General and his board of governors that were in place prior to the confirmation of the three new governors. The plan seemed to operationally handicap mail operations while at the same time elevate the operational priority of parcels. Does the coalition's survey sort of agree with that viewpoint, and how does it relate to shifting postal priorities?
Well, what the survey found was that the public values, and values very highly, both mail and package delivery, and that they should be treated with equal dignity and given strong support by extension, strong support by the Postal Service on both sides of that particular ball, and that it was, very important to the future of the Postal Service to maintain its efforts and its current treatment of both mail and packages. So they're vital to the public, and they're vital to the Postal Service itself.
I want to underscore one of the findings from the survey, and that is that 73% of the respondents would consider postal alternatives for transactional and business mail should the speed of mail slow down. Should the Postal Service be concerned about this potential exodus from the postal mail stream?
Well, if I were they, I would be. Their plan, if you'll recall, Bob, says is that mail's going to shrink by 40% or so over 10 years. And we think that is an exaggerated assessment. And that even today, in the middle of still of the overhang from the pandemic, where packages are elevated and mail was depressed last year, it's coming back now. Mail still, when you count first class and marketing mail, outstrips revenues from packages. So as a sheer business matter, to us, it doesn't make much sense to try to push some of your best customers out of the system.
The folks you represent are the folks who put the postage on the on a significant portion of the mail volume, that the mailers. Yet this survey looked at the recipients of the mail. Talk to me about the relationship between the mailer and the mail recipient.
Well, I think what you have there is sort on the surface anyway, two different metrics. From the customer's point of view, it is reliability of getting your mail, your packages to the recipient. And depending on what class of mail you're using, speed is important. Security of the mail, think about, health information and credit cards and that sort of thing are very important from the standpoint of the mailer. And pricing and service, therefore, are very pivotal constructs for the customers of the Postal Service. For the mail recipients, and I would caution that you got to be a little careful on labeling them all as just recipients, because people being surveyed run small businesses or they have personal mailings or whatever it might be, and we measured both. And so their usage of the mail collectively matters as well. So that you would find, for example, if prices go up and service goes down, that a lot more people will now be open to banking online as one obvious example, but all sorts of other shopping online and paying online and that sort of thing, taking a lot of business away from the Postal Service. So the difference really is, to get back to your question, that how does it, and we didn't focus just on receiving, but how does the public view the service it gets from the Postal Service, both incoming and outgoing? And for the recipients, getting that package either to or from Aunt Meg in Seattle is vital, as is sending a check for a payment for some work that was just done to your house by a local outfit, as does receiving an IRS refund check or some other official government communication, or getting your medications, getting your packages delivered on time, not 60 days later or even 30 days later, or for that matter, even 10 days later. People complain. And what we, I think, all kind of assumed from anecdotal stories that we've heard, seen in the press, or heard ourselves from our relatives, maybe had some personal experience actually with sending a graduation card and having it be 2 weeks late. Everybody has their own stories, but what we wanted to find out was, objectively, and again, the instructions were go out there and find out objectively, what do people really think? Do they really care if that graduation card is late, if their package is late? How do they view the service as, the Postal Service itself and the service that it provides at the price it is about to charge? So that to us was an important distinction. It's not all about the businesses and how important it is to get mass mailings out or local EDDM mailings out or that sort of thing. Those are vital to us and the prices are vital to us. But we wanted to know, what does the public think? And I think the results are resounding.
Let's take from that point. The survey seems to indicate, and we're talking about the public now, that there has been a decline in public satisfaction with the Postal Service over the past year. In addition to the historically favorable numbers reported by Gallup polls, the Postal Inspector General reported a 91% positive view last year. However, the 21st Century Survey reported only 68% of respondents was strongly satisfied with the agency right now. To what do you attribute this substantial decline? And does this decline inform major mailers about postal alternatives?
Yes, to the second part of your question. But what we think are the reasons involve all the controversy surrounding the Postal Service over the past year, the disruptions on delivery twice, the adverse headlines, which at the end of the day ended up being a little too strong about ballot delivery because that was on time. And actually, to give credit where credit is due, was handled very well by the Postal Service. But the delays around Christmas time, the delays last July, dinged the Postal Service. And then when you tell people, and virtually nobody knows about this huge change the Postal Service is putting into place, when you tell them about the fact that service is going to be slowed in first class and for their magazines and newspapers, while at the same time, prices are going up 3 and 4 times inflation for the second time this year. That tends to erode confidence, is what we're getting out of this in the postal system.
Yeah, because the top line number that caught, two top line numbers caught my attention, and that is only 56% viewed the Postal Service as trustworthy in the survey, and ditto that 56% considered the Postal Service as reliable. This is a far cry from previous data.
Well, think about it. The Postal Service, as you and I well know, Bob, is one of those services that people tend to take for granted. They don't take their carrier for granted. They always appreciate everything that he or she does, but they take the service for granted. It's been so reliable for so long. Nobody really notices until there's a problem. And the perception in the public, for good tangible reason, as we just discussed, is that there's a problem with the service. And they know that there are alternatives to the Postal Service. So when you have numbers that show that, regardless of what the Postal Service may say about, oh, the price of our stamps are really cheap compared to overseas, which is true, you've still got 58% of the people in this survey saying the Postal Service is cost effective, which means more than 40% do not believe it's cost effective. Trustworthiness, as you mentioned, for an institution that has traditionally had the brand recognition and confidence that the Postal Service has had, to have its trustworthiness shrink to 56% should be cause for immense concern over at L'Enfant Plaza, particularly in the halls of the governor's offices.
I would modify that. I wouldn't say concern. I'd say alarm, because the Postal Service has always championed its trustworthiness, and it's the most trusted institution in the United States.
That's right, and long deserved it. Mm-hmm. At the moment, though, the Postal Service has really damaged its brand, in our view, by what's happened over the past year. And Delivering for America, taking the public effectively by surprise and without consultation, I might add, with the public, is going to result in numbers like this one and others like them going forward. As you mentioned, you know, it's the same 56% believe the Postal Service is likely to be reliable in the future. And if I were the Postal Service, I'd the plan back and consult with the public, consult with Congress in a more fulsome way. I mean, we, from our coalition standpoint, we'd love to see more oversight of the plan, and reconsider, you know, do they really want to do the kind of transformation, the rather serious changes that they're about to impose, or actually, to be fair about it, have already begun to impose. Do they really want to do that with this kind of reaction from the public? They're gambling with the future of the Postal Service, and over time, maybe they can regain the confidence of the public to the levels they used to have. But it's going to take quite a while. So, you know, I'm not sure what can be done about DFAP at this point, but these numbers have got to be, if they're being paid attention to, and we certainly hope they are, got to be kind of hair-raising, as you were getting at.
Now, as a student of political polls, I love looking at so-called crosstabs, that is, going deeper into the results to determine how different demographic groups within a survey responded. And I was particularly interested in the results of rural versus suburban versus urban respondents in your survey and by age group. My instinct was that I would see a vast difference between how rural Americans and urban Americans, as well as senior citizens and baby boomers, react to different questions. But with regard to the importance of postal mail matter, that, for example, prescription medication and bills, what I found to be was somewhat surprising that no matter what demographic group, over 60% rated the Postal Service extremely important with regard to the conveyance and delivery of mail matter. And we're not talking about parcels, we're talking about mail. Could you explain why you think that it doesn't make a difference where I live? I still attribute tremendous import to mail.
Well, again, it's this service that is intricately involved in the fundamental infrastructure of the United States. It's always been there. People have taken it for granted. During the pandemic, there was a graphic in-your-face reminder of just how important the Postal Service actually is on a day-to-day basis. And there was an appreciation, as well there should have been, for the courage of the Postal Service workers, both the carriers and the folks who are processing in the network, for all of them, for taking the risk of getting the mail through and all of these essential packages and mail to our addresses in the teeth of the worst pandemic in over 100 years. And once their eyes have been reopened, and it's not just a take for granted thing, I think that's when you discover that everybody, no matter where they live, rely on the Postal Service, and understand its importance. It's not something that just fades into the background, you know, good old reliable Postal Service. It's something that's meaningful here and now. And that's why you find that people value the Postal Service no matter where they live.
Or how
rural Americans, I just would add one thing, yeah. Bob, that rural Americans, the Postal Service is even more important. They may not value it any more than city and suburban residents do now, but it's of such vital importance there because there's still 10, 12 million people, at least in this country, who don't even have access to broadband, number one. Number two, traditionally, and it remains true today, the post office is almost always at the heart of small town America. It's a gathering spot. It's a place where not only friendly conversations take place, but business conversations take place. It really, as you know very well, it is a zip code is at the heart of a community's self-identity. So there's more at stake, if you will, for rural residents, but the valuation of the Postal Service, everybody gets it now.
What I'd like to talk a little bit about is postal IQ and how the survey tested postal IQ in some respects. Around 2.5 years ago, I taped a NAPS chat along Constitution Avenue, and that was the Independence Day parade route, where I tested the spectators on their postal IQ. Now, you and I was not encouraged by the responses I got to some questions. But in your survey, you've verified the problem we have, and that is that 80% of the American public do not know that the Postal Service does not rely on taxpayer dollars. 83% are unaware of the tremendous impact the Postal Service has on the U.S. economy. Those are two very key data points. I mean, ignorance is not bliss here, is it?
No. I wish there were higher awareness, and I think everybody has tried to convey that the Postal Service is not supported by taxpayer dollars. But the message still doesn't get through widely, and it always surprises people. or almost always. And that just shows the degree of difficulty in the climb by the Postal Service to getting fully appreciated by the public. It's clearly appreciated for what it does, but it would be very helpful for everybody to realize that, you know, the Treasury's not bankrolling the Postal Service. It's self-supporting. That's a vital attribute of it, and we would love to have the public truly understand it. It's also the other statistic you mentioned, that there are 7 million plus jobs in postal reliant companies around the country. It would be great if people knew that. I think at this point, we have a pretty good understanding of that in at least significant segments of Congress. But the public understanding that, you know, this is not just some dusty old corner of business in America that, you know, it's kind of outdated and, you know, nice to have it, but so what? Instead, to have them really understand that you've got 7 million workers here and that there are a lot of businesses on which they, the public, rely, which in turn rely on the postal system, that would be very helpful if we could convey that. But clearly, neither we nor the Postal Service nor anyone else has really made a lot of headway there.
This survey is out there in the public domain, and it dovetails nicely with our mutual efforts to push forward postal reform legislation and certain other policy issues, as well as influencing the Postal Regulatory Commission in some way to keep the Postal Service more accountable. But generally speaking, how should the postal community use this new survey to promote the interests of the Postal Service and of its and of the American public?
As you would imagine, we are making this information available to Congress. In fact, we had a briefing of staff last Friday and featured the authors of this survey, as well as, of course, providing it to everybody who was on our invitation list, not just the attendees. If and when it makes sense to file this over at the Postal Regulatory Commission, we'll do that too. It's something that is in this assessment, if you will, of public attitudes. It's something that should be there to help inform all policymakers that what's the public thing? Let's not just focus on what customers think. There are some who say, well, you know, customers just care about rates and service, and, you know, understandably, and they don't want to be dinged. And yes, that absolutely is true. But of course, everybody's got alternatives. So you want to take that position into account. But more importantly, from a public service perspective, which at the end of the day, the Postal Service remains, it's a public service tasked to act as much like a business as it can, but it's still a public service. How does the public view that public service? Are they going to continue to support that kind of public service? What do we need to do to make sure that the Postal Service really does enjoy a well-deserved reputation among the public, and thereby in turn fully support universal service obligation, which even in 2021, or maybe in light of the pandemic, especially in 2021, is absolutely vital to the nation and its communications as a whole.
I want to thank you, Art, for joining us once again on NAPS Chat. Art Sackler is Executive Director of a 21st Century Postal Coalition. Thanks for joining me, Art.
You're welcome, Bob. Good discussion.
If you, our listeners, enjoy Naps Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store, and more important, tell your friends to download our podcast and listen in. Be well and safe.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make